Let us pray. Oh, Father and God, this morning we are grateful for the blessing of one more day that Thou hast blessed us with here in the land of the living. And only Father, we now pray that Thou will bless Thy word, that as Thy word is declared, O Lord, it will fall on good soil, that Thy people indeed will say yes to Thy will and yes to Thy way. This indeed is my prayer. In Jesus' name I give thanks and I pray. Amen. If there is one thing that most of us don't have much problem doing, it is talking. It is estimated that on the average, each person speaks around 16,000 words a day. Now, with so much words coming out of our mouth every day, one would expect our mouth or jaw to be very tired. But that's not always the case. And the reason is because the jaw muscle is the strongest muscle in the human body. God, in His infinite wisdom, designed our jaw muscle this way to enable us to actually communicate with each other. But while we don't have much problem with talking, we have a huge problem when it comes to listening. Though God, in His creative excellence, had gone an extra mile by graciously endowing us with two ears, yet for most of us, listening is not our strength, but our weakness. And our inability to listen continues to destroy countless relationships, leaving behind all kinds of collateral damage. Because of the inability to listen, marriages fail. Because of the inability to listen, businesses collapse. Because of the inability to listen, even churches, they split. But loved ones, if there is one good news this morning, it is this. God is not oblivious of this human weakness. That is why in His word, He constantly exalts us to listen. You know, Solomon, writing in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, will say this. He said, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Again, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." But I believe James put it very, very well in his epistle when he wrote, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." James chapter 1, verse 19. Now, God will instruct in His word of the importance of being good listeners, also lays out for us how to achieve this. And this is where I'm going this morning. You know, my question that I want to address this morning is, you know, how can I be an active listener? What are the biblical principles to becoming an active listener? This, loved ones, is going to be my roadmap this morning. Now, as a preamble, I think it's important for me to first of all define what listening is and what listening is not. Again, I want you to pay attention to me this morning. I think it's important for us to go elementary here to define what listening is and what listening is not. So let me begin with what listening is not. You know, listening is just not hearing. You know, hearing is an automatic brain response to sound, and that is detected through noise. It is involuntary, it is passive, and actually requires no mental effort. You know, you can be in your office and your coworker can be talking on the phone while you hear that he or she is talking, but you are not listening because you are not actually into what they are saying. In the same way, someone might say to you, "I hear you," But most times it is just, I believe, a political correct way of saying, listen, I'm tolerating what you're actually saying, but they're not listening. And I believe, loved ones, that is how many of us actually communicate or engage in this activity of listening. We hear, but many of us don't listen. And may I remind you again, hearing is not listening. So now let's flip it around. What then is listening? This is where I want you to pay close attention. You know, listening is a conscious and deliberate act of comprehension whereby a person seeks to actively understand what the other person is saying. Let me repeat that. You know, listening is a conscious and deliberate act of comprehension whereby a person seeks to actively understand what the other person is saying. Now, I want you to pay attention to that definition because I believe there are important stages here when we define listening as a conscious and deliberate act of comprehension. These are the stages I want to tell you about listening in this definition. You know, this definition, I believe, has to begin with receiving. There's got to be a conscious, deliberate effort, an act to comprehend. You've got to be able to receive. So no matter how right you think you are, you have to discipline yourself to, first of all, receive what the other person is saying. The second stage in this definition is interpretation. You have to understand. That means you have to hear, ask clarification questions. You know, someone speak and you can say, okay, let me repeat to you what you just said. If I hear you correctly, this is what you said. Then the third stage here is evaluation. In this stage, you try to see the merit in what they're saying. And I always tell people, if someone will say something and 90% of it is false, the 10%, you got to be able to say, okay, this 10%, there is merit here. How can I evaluate this? How can I, what am I listening to here? How can I evaluate this? Then the third or the fourth and final process in this definition is actually responding. So, loved ones, I want you to understand there is a process when we come to listening. And this definition, I believe, captures those four responses that you receive, you interpret, you evaluate, then you respond. But, loved ones, unfortunately, when it comes to listening, it is a struggle that most of us do experience or do have. And you know what? The question here is that why do we all struggle with listening? Well, I got some things here which I believe is the reason why we all struggle, or most of us struggle with listening. The first reason we struggle with listening is because of pride. You know, being overtly focused on yourself and your own need can make you believe that what the other person is saying is not important and you are important. You see what I'm saying? And again, some people come into conversation with a lot of pride. In their mind, they're so prideful that they believe that you are dead wrong. As such, because you're dead wrong, they don't have no chance to even listen to what you got to say. But again, I think that is prideful. That is prideful. And we're going to see from the Bible this morning how the Lord Jesus himself handled conversation. Though the Lord Jesus, omniscient in all his attribute, would listen, even though he knew some people were dead wrong. And loved ones, I think this is what you need to avoid in conversation. When you engage in conversation, don't be prideful. Because when you become prideful, you won't be able to listen. The second reason why I believe we struggle with listening is because of prejudice. You know, there are existing bias and stereotypes and preconceived notion that we bring to different conversation. Can I get an amen this morning? You know, there's some biases that we have that when we sit to talk to people, that we've already made up our mind that this is who they are and that is what they're going to be. So I'm not going to shut them off. I'm not going to listen. So what we do essentially, we become selective hearers or selective listeners because we have the bias. That is why it's important that when you come into a conversation, you put away all your bias. And even the apostles of Jesus Christ, when we begin to look at the ministry of Jesus, when it comes to the Samaritans, there is this bias in their mind that when they approach any issue with the Samaritan, they have this issue that, Lord Jesus, this is what we need to do. And the Lord Jesus had to correct them. Because he had to correct them. Because you can share the gospel with them if you have a bias towards them. And loved ones, this is important in conversation. In order to listen, you have to walk intentionally, deliberately, to lay aside all prejudice you may have in order to be able to listen to what the other person is saying, even if what they're saying doesn't make sense. The third reason we struggle with listening is because of what I call response rehearsal. Again, let me repeat that. Is what I call response rehearsal. What does that mean? You know, instead of actively processing what the other person is saying, many of us use our mental energy to prepare for our response. Oh, love, I've seen that in many sessions that I've had, counseling sessions. You know, I've seen people, you know, and they talk to one another, and I could detect from the other person that they're just itching and waiting to respond back. They're in their mind thinking of what they're going to say. They're eager. You can see it in their demeanor. You can see it in their movement. You can see the way they feel. And, you know, when you spend your mental energy trying to prepare for your response, that means you're not listening to what the other person is saying. And loved ones, this is common in sessions. You know, when you spend your time trying to prepare for what you're going to say, you can listen. And when you don't listen, the conversation breaks down. And loved ones, I can tell you, many marriages have fallen apart because one or the other person has not listened, or they are not listening. They spend their mental energy trying to attack. And loved ones, this is the key. When you spend your mental energy trying to attack the other person, attack what they're saying, you won't be able to understand. And loved ones, that is why it's important that we now turn to the Bible to say, listen, God wants us to be active listeners. How can I, as a Christian, become an active listener? This is where I'm going this morning, loved ones. And we're going to search the place of Scripture this morning. You know, we're going to look at the keys, biblical keys, to active listening. Let's begin here. The first thing is this. You know, active listening biblically must actually begin with humility and empathy. Loved ones, I want you to write that down. Active listening, according to the Bible, must actually begin with humility and empathy. Now, let us look at a scenario in the Gospel of John. Here we read about the Lord Jesus, you know, traveling, and he comes to a well around Samaria. And in this narrative, we see that he sat by the well, Jacob's well, and there came a woman who came to the well. We call her the Samaritan woman. Now, by this time, his disciples had gone into the city to go and get food. And at this well, the Lord Jesus will now say, now I want you to understand this, loved ones. The Lord Jesus was the theanthropos. He was the God-man. He knew everything about this woman. He could command this woman based on his divine power to fetch water or to give him water. But the Lord Jesus kind of made an appeal. He said to this woman, you know, can I get water? Give me a drink. And I want you to watch the way the Lord Jesus starts this conversation. Give me drink. But obviously the Samaritan woman, you know, the reason she came right there in the noon, because probably in the village that she came from, she was an outcast, because in those times the women kind of go out together to fetch water. But she came alone because she didn't probably want nobody to see her. And in this sense, she actually responded in a belligerent way to Jesus. He said, how is it you've been a Jew? Ask me for a drink of water since I'm a Samaritan woman. Now, I want you to pay attention to that. You know, the Lord Jesus could have been upset, could have been very, you know, very condemnative, but he did not do that. The Lord Jesus took time to listen because in that conversation was pain. And the Lord Jesus responded to her. He said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, give me a drink? You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she goes back to respond to Jesus, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Then do you get water? How do you get this living water? You are no greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank out of it himself and his sons and his cattle. And I want you to watch that conversation. And the Lord Jesus listened. He listened and he said to this one, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water which I give shall never thirst, but the water that I give in shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And the conversation goes on till the Lord Jesus told this woman, go call your husband. But again, I want you to watch that conversation, loved ones. That conversation is humility and empathy on display. Again, humility and empathy on display. The Lord Jesus is teaching us a lesson here about listening. That listen, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how much right you think you have, you have to approach conversation in a sense of humility. You have to approach it in a sense of empathy. The Lord Jesus could have put in that bias, you know, and she identified. He said, you've been a Jew, you're asking me a Samaritan. In other words, the Lord Jesus didn't even use that bias as a precondition for entering into conversation with this woman. But the Lord Jesus overlooked that. And loved ones, listen. When you come into a conversation, always approach that conversation with humility and empathy. Avoid making the conversation about yourself, you know, filtering in your bias. Rather, show compassion. Listen. Don't try to prepare for what you're going to say. Listen. And I believe, loved ones, this is what I believe, that in every conversation, there is pain that is being shared. There is something that is being shared. But you can't see those things if you're not humble enough to listen and be empathetic. And I tell you what, if many of our conversation, we are humble in our churches and we're empathetic, our churches will be a poster child of love. And the same thing will be our marriages. Marriages won't collapse because of irreconcilable differences. Husband and wife will be able to listen to one another with a lot of empathy and humility, and they will find a way to walk things through. The second biblical way is actually what we find in James chapter 1 verse 19. You know, for you to be an active listener, you have to practice the discipline of being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Again, loved ones, you want to observe what I just said here. You have to practice the discipline of being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. So let me begin here with quick to hear. You know, give your full attention to what the other person is saying. Again, I want you to understand that. When the Bible said be quick to hear, in other words, give your attention. When you are in a conversation with a person, and no matter how intense it is, look them face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Give them that eye contact. Let them understand that I'm listening to you. Don't turn your back, or don't shake your head, or don't have all these body movements that communicates that you are being irritated. Because I've sat in conversation when people have all this body language and I said, I'm listening. No. Take your time. Be quick to listen. You know, give them an eye contact and focus on what they're saying. That is what James is trying to say. Be quick to listen. Then the second one here, you have to be slow to anger. And what? And slow to speak, rather. Let's look at slow to speak. In other words, you got to teach yourself restraint. You know, rather than rushing to formulate a response while the other person is speaking, take your time to digest and consider what they're saying carefully. Listen, you got to be slow. You got to restrain your mouth. And I always tell people, listen, it's not everything that comes to your head that you have to say out of your mouth. Because what you say today, in a couple of months, you might have a different perspective of the situation. But you've already said something today that you can take back. That is why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to exercise restraint in your conversation. You have to say to yourself, listen, I want to carefully listen to what this person is saying. I want to be very slow to speak here. I want to hold my restraint. I want to buffet. I want to bridle my tongue so I don't just say words out. And this is the process that you ask questions. This is the process that you say, you know what, if I hear you correctly, this is what you're trying to say to me. And if they agree, then you know that you are on the same page as they are. That is what it means to be slow to speak. The other part of it is to be slow to anger. And you know what? You must ensure that you don't let your frustration or your impatience be shown when you're in conversation with others. That is what the Bible is trying to say. You know, don't just go off. You know, at times people say things that might irritate us, right? You know, I get into conversation with people that, and I find what they're saying that this is not right. But guess what? I control myself in such a way that I pay attention. I seek to listen to them. I'm very slow to anger because the anger of men does not bring about the righteousness of God. And as the Bible tells us, anger dwells in the bosom of fools. And loved ones, that is what it means to practice the discipline of quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And loved ones, if you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can master this discipline, you will find how enriching it's going to be, that you are going to be an active listener. But the final thing, loved ones, I want to share with you this morning is this. For you to be a biblical active listener, you have to prioritize love. Again, I want you to write it down. You got to prioritize love. You know, Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he said to Timothy these words. He said, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith. You pay attention to what I said. The goal of our instruction is love. In every conversation that you get engaged in, your goal is love, or your goal should be the love of Jesus. Your goal should be to win the brother, to win the sister. Your goal is to display your light. Your goal is that your salt can taste. That is what it means to prioritize love. Listen, if you are engaged in a conversation with a person who don't know Jesus, and they're on the left, don't just go and bamboozle them. No, you want to win them to Jesus. You want to let them see Christ in you. You want to be able to let them understand that no matter your differences, it's all about Jesus. And loved ones, I believe if all of us as believers can understand this, we will be able to engage in conversation and listen for the sake of experiencing and showing love to other people. If husbands and wives will come together in a conversation and listen to one another and they prioritize love, they will understand that they're not really enemies here. They're on the same team. They just see things differently. But if both of them are eager to show love, they will be able to find a point of reconciliation. And the reason people don't find reconciliation is because they don't prioritize love. And this morning, I'm tendering to you. The Apostle Paul will say here that if you speak with the tongues of men and of angels and you do not have love, you have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy and you know all mystery and all knowledge, and if you have all faith so that you move mountain but you don't have love, you have nothing. If you give all your possession to feed the poor, and if you surrender your body to be burned but you do not have love, it profits you nothing. And the Apostle Paul will say to us, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, love is not arrogant, love does not act unbecomingly, love does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take account of wrong that suffered, but rejoices in what is good, rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Loved ones, that is how to become a biblical, active listener. By the way, I need to make this observation. I need to let you know it's not love at all cost. We'll pay attention, Pastor Wally, back away. It's not love at all cost. Because, you know, at times you will show all the love you can. And if this person rejects it, you know, as much as it depends upon you, says the Apostle Paul, you'll be at peace with them. As much as it depends upon you, you love them. But it doesn't mean that you got to buddy-buddy and into it. No. At times, that's not going to be achievable. But that's all right. You know, what you want to do is to testify of the love of Jesus. And if they don't receive it, that's all right. You can't make them receive it. You can't make them accept that love. But you can show it. And loved ones, listen to me this morning. The question is this, are you listening? Are you listening? Listen to what others are saying. And I truly believe when you and I listen, we will be able to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ, both in his words and in his deeds, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we're grateful. We're grateful for the instruction that is embedded in the Word of God, the call you've called us to listen. Father, give us the grace to be active listeners, that we can listen actively to what others are saying so as to glorify thy name. Father, I pray that I will bless the declaration of this word this morning, that indeed it will fall on good soil and glorify the holy name. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.